The first reading is written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, beginning at verse 1, and can be found on page 741 in the Church Bible. That's Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, and though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel is written in John, Chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, to be found on page 1063 in the Church Bible. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory
to you, O Lord. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Francis and Patsy, very much. It is hard to help from a distance. A few years ago, I had to go to a residential conference for the week, and Kathy was working for a few of those days, but we'd sorted childcare and everything was going to be fine. Until we get a call from the person who was looking after the kids saying that she had a family emergency and needed to leave immediately. Kathy's the only doctor covering the children's ward with a boss not letting her leave. And I'm 2 hours drive away without a car and the trains are on strike. There was no way I could get back. There was absolutely nothing I could do. And nor could Kathy actually in that moment. And so after some frantic calling around, we found a friend who could be there and it all worked out. But what mattered was that friend was near. They were near and they needed to come closer. They had to come close. It's hard to help from a distance. That's the accusation that can sometimes be thrown at politicians, can't it? That if you heard that accusation, maybe you've made it yourself. They can't help me because they're not like me. They live at a distance to the rest of us. They don't know what we're going through, so they can't help. Maybe that's even an accusation we could make at God. You may have made this world, but look at it now. So full of temptation and suffering. You may be all loving, all knowing, all powerful, but you have no idea what it's like to live a human life in this broken world. You're just chilling out in your heavenly ivory tower. You can't help from there. And that matters because there's a lot of pain out there, isn't there? The devastation of seeing your family relationships torn apart. The sadness of grief that sits so stubbornly in the stomach. The pain of ill health or the anxiety that comes with uncertainty. Dealing with the consequences of sin in this fallen world. We need help. But it's hard to help from a distance. And so I want us to know the encouragement today that in Jesus, God has come near. As Mark said earlier, over Easter, we followed the Easter story in the Gospel of Luke, what God was willing to do to help in the events of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. But for the next few weeks, we wanted an extra bite of the Easter cherry. And to do that, we're looking at one of the most famous parts of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53. And we're going to go through the slow train through it. 3 weeks. Today, we're looking at just the first three verses. But my prayer is that it helps us dwell on him and grow a confidence in him of what he was doing, what he was achieving, and how he achieved it. Because it shows us how he helps. In the book of Isaiah, Israel are in need of help. They've turned their backs on God. There's a spiritual blindness that sort of pervades the whole book. And God has promised judgment. And Assyria, they're getting ready to attack. And the Babylonian exile, when they're all kicked out of Israel, that's prophesied. But through it all, there is a constant hope, but there is a constant theme that there is hope even through the judgment, even through the suffering. That light will break through the darkness. that God's people will emerge back from the exile, that their enemies would not prevail in the end, that God's holy city, it would be restored, that God's people would be back together worshipping him again. But all those themes aren't just confined to the history of Israel. They prefigure what God will do in the fullness of time. Because towards the end of the book, where we find ourselves, we find out that God is going to bring all that about by a servant, by his servant, who suffers. And that servant is Jesus Christ. And so he's the one actually that we're looking at as we go through this chapter, Isaiah 53. He's the one we're looking at. But here's the thing. In their spiritual blindness, we read that the people won't recognize him. They won't recognize God's suffering servant. Who has believed our message, verse 1? No one is the implicit answer. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord is like the Lord in his power, which you'd think would be pretty recognizable, right? The power of the living God. But they don't recognize Jesus. He has to be revealed to them. Many of us will know Jesus spent a lot of his ministry not being recognized for who he was. It's the same today, isn't it? People aren't sure what to make of this Jesus in history. And that's because the arm of the Lord, the power of the Lord, it doesn't come in the form that you might expect. Political power, military might, well, then you wouldn't be able to miss him, would you? That's pretty obvious, staring you right in the face. But the arm of the Lord, we're told, in fact, comes as someone who is very, very ordinary. You wouldn't be able to pick him out from a crowd. So verse 2, he grew up before him, before God, like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Now that may come as a bit of a disappointment to you. I don't know. We like our leaders impressive, don't we? But the people we celebrate in the world are the ones who are impressively clever, who are impressively strong, good-looking, successful, impressively rich, impressively talented. Well, Jesus isn't like that. He didn't appear impressive in any way. He is not superhuman. He is fully human. But that is good news. That is good news because it means that he is just like you and me. Now, he never stops being God, but here's the thing. His godness never gets in the way of his really being human. He really is human, fully. He's just like you and me. He lived in the same world like you and me. He just did it perfectly, without sin. And that means he can die for you and for me. He is fully human, yet entirely perfect, taking our place on the cross. He is the Savior we need. More on that next week. But I'm not allowed there today. Because for now, we need to hear that it's hard to help from a distance. It's hard to help from a distance. But Jesus hasn't just bridged the gap between heaven and earth. He has bridged the gap between God and humanity. He has come near. when Ed broke up with the girlfriend he'd hoped to marry, his friends, they lived a long way away. But he knew he was loved when those friends drove 2 hours to see him that evening. They came near. In Jesus, God has driven more than 2 hours to come near. We read in our gospel reading, the Word, that is the eternal Son of God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us, John 1:14. Or we said in our creed, he was made in human likeness. Or as we'd say in the Nicene Creed, for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. You see, in Jesus, God has come near to you. And so he does care. And he does know what you're going through. In fact, he doesn't just know about what you're going for. Here's what's precious. He experienced even the worst of it for himself. So we read on in verse 3. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Jesus didn't look the part. And so when people should have followed him, they shunned him. Despised, rejected, suffering, familiar with pain, we held him in low esteem. And that in itself is a scandal. But that is what life is sometimes like. He had a true experience of it. He doesn't just know about human life, he has lived it. Which means he experienced the joys of family and friendships and food and fishing, maybe, and fun. But he also experienced the sadness of grief and loneliness and pain and rejection and injustice. And that is a comfort in hard times, isn't it? So that when tears fall down our face because of the death of a loved one, Jesus experienced it too. God is not distant. Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus in John 11. Or when we feel alone, God is not distant to that. Jesus experienced it too when he was abandoned by his followers in John 6. When we endure pain, emotional or physical, God is not distant. Jesus experienced it too when his heart was broken for Jerusalem in Luke 19, or when he was beaten and endured the excruciating pain of a crucifixion. When we feel rejected, because we realize we're not as close to someone as we thought, perhaps. God is not distant. Jesus experienced the rejection of his own friend and disciple, Judas. When we're served an injustice, God is not distant. Jesus was proved to have done nothing wrong, but was condemned to be executed anyway. Now you might turn around and say, Ollie, this all sounds just a bit fluffy. It's just a bit fluffy. Don't bring God down to our level. He's almighty. He doesn't change. He's not affected by the latest bit of bad news. Let God be God. Don't bring him down. Now I want to say, that's a right instinct. That is right. You're absolutely right. And that's good news because it means that God remains in control. He isn't subject to events or to suffering. He is able to bring salvation and transformation. But in God's wonderful purposes, he has sent his one and only Son to take on human flesh in the person of Jesus, who lived a fully human life, knowing and experiencing what you are going through. And that, it seems to me, is the perfect combination. High throne over human life, lowly experience of human life. And that's even before we get to the fact that Jesus doesn't only suffer with us, he suffers for us in our place, which is what next week's section is all about. I want to finish with one of my favourite stories about our previous queen, Queen Elizabeth II. Richard Griffin was one of her royal protection officers. He and the Queen were walking one day on the Balmoral estate when they passed some American tourists and they got chatting. The American tourists didn't recognise her. At one stage, one of them asked her where she lived. She said, "Oh, well, I live in London, but I have a house just over the hills." "Oh, have you been coming here long then?" "Oh, yes, since I was a girl, over 80 years. A light a switch flicks in the head. "Does that mean you've met the Queen?" "Well, I haven't," she said. "But he," the security guard, he sees her regularly," pointing to Richard. "Oh," the attention turns to Richard. "What's she like then?" they ask him. "Oh, she can be a bit tricky," he's pulling her leg. "But she's got a great sense of humour," he says. Well, the tourist is blown away. This guy knows the Queen. So he gets out his camera and he gives it to the Queen and gets her to take a photo of Richard with them. Now, just so that she didn't feel left out, they swapped places, and he took a photo of them with the Queen too. Imagine how they'd felt when they get it printed, they show their friends, when they realise that they were speaking to the Queen. Here's the problem. They assumed that the Queen would be in a castle, that they'd missed her. And so they'd missed her when she was right next to them. They assumed maybe she'd have a crown on her head. She just looked like an ordinary old lady. And so they didn't recognize who she really was. Don't make the same mistake with Jesus. He's not distant behind a castle wall. And that's good news, because he came near to walk among us, to suffer with us, and to save us. Don't ignore him just because he didn't look the part. He might not have looked like the Saviour we wanted, but it turns out he really is the Saviour we needed. One who is made like us, one who suffers like us, one who experienced life like us, and so one who is able to lead us through whatever trouble we face now or ever. Invite him in, pray to him, because he's not at a distance where it's hard to help. He has come near, and he knows, and he cares, and he wants to walk with you through darkness and into the light. And let me say, I think it's that coming near to help that inspires our love too. When people are hurting, it's hard to help from a distance. So we come near. We can't enter into their experience, but we can walk with them through it. We can share their burdens. I've loved seeing, while I've been here, seeing so many people want to do that with people who are hurting, coming near, whatever that might look like. Of course, we've got to be careful not to impose ourselves on someone when it would be inappropriate, when people don't want us to, but coming near with a thoughtful message or a card, a treat, time together, the offer of help, whatever's appropriate in the relationship, in the situation. Isaiah foresaw a servant that no one would recognize. And John says that that's exactly what happened when Jesus came. So to go back to finish with that gospel reading, listen to John 1, 9 to 12 again. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's very similar to Isaiah, isn't it? His own didn't receive him, didn't recognize him. But if we do receive him, if our eyes are open to see who he is, then he gives us the right to become children of God. And so he doesn't just, I mean, what could be closer than that? He doesn't just come close, he brings us close. It doesn't get closer than being a children of God, being a child of God. Like the queen welcoming us back into the palace to join the family. We're accepted into the loving heavenly family of God with a Savior who knows what it's like to be ordinary, who knows what it's like to experience pain in this life, and knows what it's like to be rejected, and who willingly endured all of it to bring us into a world where one day suffering and sin and death itself will finally be a thing of the past. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you reign and that you are powerful and almighty and all-knowing and ever-present. And we praise you too that you came near in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he became like us. So that he could die for us. But also know what it's like. And so I want to pray particularly for anyone hurting this morning. That they would find comfort in their Savior, the Lord Jesus, who knows. And who loves them. And would we as a church be a church who, knowing the love of Christ, would be willing to come near to one another? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.